lights out, we're underway. Smokesport Republic of Podcast.
Thomas Slav.
We're back. We're back in the motherland.
We're back in the... You know what? It feels good. After 8 days in Phuket.
It does. It's way too long in Phuket. We had an amazing time in Buriam, 4 nights, and then we thought, 8 nights in Phuket, how good's that going to be? After like 3, we were like, we're ready to come home.
Well, we had a 10 a.m. session to a 3 a.m. session one night.
Yeah, we did.
And that, I think, cooked us for a long time.
Yeah, but we didn't go that ridiculously silly. It was just, we're getting old.
I was foaming out of the mouth. I was talking that much.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, but we had a great time, and I think we haven't had a pod since that sit-down pod after the Grand Prix.
Yeah, okay. This is our first one back.
So I'll give the listeners and the viewers a bit of a theme. I just got sick. I got like a cold in Phuket. Then I got food poisoning. Then I'll come back with the flu.
King COVID.
I've still got. So I have to apologize. My voice is just still not right, but sounds kind of sexy.
It does.
But yeah, we're back, and then we landed back. Our flight got cancelled. Jetstar Classic. And then I said to James, we just got to get home, bro. So we book an Air Malaysia flight from Phuket to Kuala Lumpur, 3 hour stopover, and then back to Melbourne. And we just got home.
Well, we had to get home. You had to go to the F1s Thursday morning. Yep. I had a funeral. Yeah. So like we couldn't miss it.
We had to get home. So we just did it. We paid the money. We got home. We landed at 10 o'clock on the Wednesday morning. I got home and crashed and just slept.
Yeah.
And I was shivering cold and all sorts of things. Get up Thursday morning, F1. Oh, man. Come on, let's go. I lasted till about 1:30. I was like, I'm done. And then, but it ended up being one of the most amazing weekends for me personally with my old man. Had such a good time. We, 4 days with your dad. I'm sure the listeners at home, you know, to get the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And to, spend the time with family. It was amazing and, treasure. Memories for life, you know?
Oh, it was great. It was good to see you do that. And obviously, me and my old man tagged along for Saturday.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was a fun time. It was funny. It was like 35 degrees, man. And I was like, I can't do any more heat. And I normally love the heat, you know me. And I was like, fuck. And we're walking around. We get like 20 minutes in and we make a joke. We always say we're paddock fit. We can walk all day. No matter the heat, we're good.
Yeah.
20 minutes in, my old man's like, I need some shade. I need to sit down. I'm like, mate, you're with Republican now. You gotta keep up.
And he's Queenslander.
Yeah.
He's Queenslander.
That dry heat.
It's different. And it's weird. It was a weird day on Saturday because we were sitting there and just sweltering hot, you know.
Man,
and
it was
cloudy. I think the heat just got locked in. And it was one of the hardest days. It was harder than that Friday, Saturday at Buriam when it was 40.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no breeze. You know, it's funny. I was talking to my uncle on the way home today. Guys, just want to say a massive shout out to our amazing sponsor, motoheaven.com.au. Now, Tom, I've actually had the privilege of going down to their store and seeing what they do. And the amount of packages that they send out and the amount of orders they have is they've got a streamlined process. It's awesome. We want to give them a massive shout out because they do same day dispatch or next day dispatch. They do all the biggest brands, Shoei, HJC, Alpine Stars, Dine Easy. They've got an amazing website, amazing parts finder. You can get all the parts for your bike as well. So get down to motoheaven.com.au and you can get all your needs for your motorcycles. And that's for Australia and New Zealand. And he's like, I was watching free practice on Friday. And he's like, I knew it was going to rain on the Sunday. He goes, I've lived in Melbourne obviously for so long. He goes, when there's a haze that goes over the bay, he's like, you know, there's rain coming.
Jeez.
And then bang on the Sunday. He's like, and he doesn't lie. You know, he's not a liar, this guy. He's always a straight shooter. And he's like, I didn't look at the weather. I didn't look at any of that. And then bang, it was pissing down rain on Sunday. He was telling like one of his co-workers up in obviously Queensland.
It was so interesting sitting at, and we'll get into Formula One more shortly, but sitting at turn 5 in the race. And then we're watching on the big screen, the McLaren's going off.
Yeah.
But it wasn't raining where we were. It was still dry. And we're like, what is going on? And then the rain, you could just see the rain come across. Verstappen stayed out.
How Melbourne is it?
so Melbourne. And the sun comes out and then it just blows and then the race finishes and then it just starts raining again. Man. And I just have to say credit to the Grand Prix organisers. That event is so well run. To have a 35 degree day one day and to have enough shade and drink, and you know, they had all that free drink station. The toilets were always good. There wasn't too much of a line. The overpasses are always going to be a big issue getting across, because I mean they've got eight of them, but you know there's 140,000 people. But to the 35 degree day and then have a full wet day and everyone to still have a reasonable day, it was an amazing effort.
Yeah, it's the
record crowd as well.
Record crowd. It is amazing. I was fighting Thai belly. I'm still fighting Thai belly.
We might even have to pause the pod. We might have to go have a toilet break.
Literally been shitting liquid. I went to the chemist on Saturday morning and I'm like, oh, I've just got back from Thailand. I need something to, like, plug the diarrhea. Like, sorry for all this, listeners. And she's like, oh, how long has it been going for? And like about 7 days. And she almost like fell to the floor. She's like, you need to go to a doctor like now. It's like, take this. You shouldn't be taking it. But go to a doctor now. I'm like, I don't have the time.
Yeah.
I still haven't gone to a doctor. Sunday, I just crashed, fell asleep and watched their finals on TV. It's not pretty. And now I've been constipated. I'm the other end of the spectrum, which you went through.
I did.
All through Thailand.
Oh, God.
PTSD.
But yeah, back to Thailand. As you said, it was, we had an amazing time in Buriram and the most amazing 4 days
ever.
Of you know, just with the Grand Prix action and everything, but would have been happy to come home after that and enjoyed it. But anyway, it was good.
Bangalore Road got us.
We needed to scratch the itch, as they say.
we scratched it all right. Yeah. I definitely scratched it all right.
but we're back and guys, it's gonna be a massive year. It's so good to have both the sports back. F1 was just an incredible race, helped by the rain, obviously. Marquez, I mean, Jesus, yeah. Marquez is, it's going to be a very, very interesting year.
Yeah.
We've got some news, some podcast news as well we want to share with everyone.
Yeah, got some podcast news for all our worthy listeners. Mr. Daniel Brishy is no longer with us.
He's still alive.
Rest in peace. But I guess we've just parted ways. Obviously, no hard feelings. He'll still come on. There's some special guests here and there as well. So, unfortunately for the rest of you guys, you're stuck with us. Stuck with us.
But we want to thank Daniel for everything, like the last couple of years. It's been awesome.
It's been a lot of fun.
Just different directions, I suppose. Yep. So,
it's been a lot of fun. And we're still obviously going to be best mates and really good mates. So, I'll still be going to the footy and stuff with him, and
definitely
see him at the MotoGP, and he's always cruising around the Aussie Superbike paddock as well.
Yeah, give him a yell if you ever see him in the back of the paddock or anything like that. 100%.
He's Mr. ASBK these days.
He is. Yes.
And speaking of Thailand, quickly go watch our vlog.
Yes,
we haven't plugged it yet on any of our podcasts. Our Thailand vlog, one of the most fun things we've ever done.
It's something we want to keep doing. So,
if you've got any suggestions, message us.
Yes.
Because it doesn't have to be MotoGP or F1. We've talked about doing like camping in Le Mans 24 hour.
Yeah. Someone talked about Macau.
Yeah. My old man said Macau would be a really good one to go to. All these different motorsport events doesn't just have to be MotoGP and F1. We want to change it up as well. Suzuka 8 hour would be a great one to do as well. So, message us. If anyone has like a, you know, maybe we need to start a GoFundMe or something like that. Or if you're like a rich dog that just wants to come with us and pay for us, that would be really good as well.
We'll get you
on, as long as you can party and have a bit of fun with us. Well, be one of the boys. That's all you got to do is be one of the boys.
And I think I'm half a travel agent after organizing Thailand.
You did?
I went on today to the Skyview Resort Buriram and it's $21 a night. $21 a night with breakfast. We didn't pay $21 a night.
God, no.
But how crazy is that, you know? So
it's actually, I don't want to plug that place too much. It's like a world's best kept secret, that joint.
But we might, we might have something organized for everyone next year. We might be able to tag along with us. I'm trying to get something started, so we'll see how that goes throughout the year.
Yeah,
we need to find time. Time is more important than money. That's crazy. So
yeah, Yeah, it's a lot. It was the best. Like, I can't stop thinking about it and talking about it, but it was just the most fun weekend ever. Yeah.
We haven't had time to reflect yet, to be honest. We've been talking about it, and we've had two podcasts talking about it. We haven't had time to actually reflect on it yet, and I think that will come in the next few weeks when we just get back to normal.
Get back to normal. We had a... Yeah, you see it all in the vlog. It's really good.
Yes. Yeah. Watch the vlog. And if any suggestions, even just comment on the vlog if you...
Yeah, just comment on the YouTube.
Yep.
Definitely. Thomas Love.
Yeah. We're going to change it up today, guys. We are going to talk about the Australian Grand Prix first because... Formula One, obviously. Because it was such a big event in our hometown.
Literal hometown. Like 30 minutes from our house.
So what a race. It was a wet weather race and probably to be perfectly honest, thank God the weather did come because it was they've made changes to that track but still very hard to pass. So it's almost too fast now, fourth fastest track on the calendar. But
should they bring back that, you know how it's one big back straight? And they used to have a chicane before that onto it.
Yeah, no, not really. I think it's perfect how it is.
Okay.
I think you'd almost, that quick change of direction, that 9 and 10 quick left and right at the end of that long straight, you almost need to make into like a hairpin corner or like a double hairpin.
Yeah, because you can't pass there.
Yeah, but but that's such a cool spot to watch.
Great spot. So, it always looks like they're in fast forward through there.
Oh, we've watched it from there a few times. And look, we watched it there 5 or 6 years ago when they were slower. I mean, I just couldn't imagine what they look like now. But
you know, there's not many places that turn me around. But when I'm at the Grand Prix, I'm like, where the fuck am I on this track?
It was so strange. We went out and got a feed yesterday. Far out. And we turned back and I walked down and I'm we're at the South Melbourne Market.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, how am I here? Like, this doesn't make sense. So, it was the strangest, like, set of circumstances. Because I'm thinking the South Melbourne Market's nowhere near there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is seriously like a 15-minute walk away.
Oh, my God. That's so weird. And then I guess you leave one gate and you're almost at, like, the Palais Theatre.
Yeah, it's wacky. In first position, Lando Norris, one of his best drives, I think one of the best drives I've seen in a very long time, and we'll dissect that in a sec. Max Verstappen second, equally as good. George Russell third. Antonelli fourth on debut, which was
amazing.
He did get a 5-second penalty, but if anyone doesn't know this, it actually got reversed post-race for an unsafe release. Albon fifth in the Williams, which is great. Stroll sixth. No one's really talking about that.
Yeah, 100%.
17 seconds off the lead. Obviously, safety car helped that, and he chose the right tyres at the right time. Hülkenberg, 7th. Charles, 8th. Leclerc, 8th. A really disappointing result for Ferrari. Oscar Piastri, 9th. Again, like, that Australian curse for podium just strikes again, 24 years or whatever it is. And then Lewis Hamilton rounding up the top 10, so... amazing pass on the last corner. Sorry, the last lap for Piastri to pass Hamilton. But so disappointing for Piastri. I mean, that's the main story, isn't it?
The groan that went over the stands. It is. It's such a curse with Australian drivers. You know, Didn't Daniel Ricciardo podium and then it got taken off him?
Disqualified, yeah.
You know, it sucked. And like, he obviously had race-winning pace. Lando was very fast. He was fast all weekend. And you called it. You said Lando was holding back through practice. Mm,
he was, yeah. I think the McLarens are further ahead than what we think. Their dry running pace was incredible. As soon as it dried out, and you could see this with your eyes, they just took off.
Let me ask you this. If it was a completely dry race, would Verstappen make that podium?
Oh, Verstappen would have been third.
Yeah.
Because Verstappen, and we cannot underestimate his drive either. He's probably in the fourth best car.
Mm.
Lawson was nowhere.
Nowhere.
Absolutely. He was not 18th falling off the back of the 17th place runner. But I cannot stress enough how amazing for Max to get up only half a second behind Norris in the end of the race. Obviously, the wet weather helps that, but he just shows how immensely talented it is. But please, take nothing away. Lando Norris, that pressure that he faced all race, incredible. From Piastri, from Verstappen, it was an amazing drive and probably the best of his career. It hasn't been talked about today because of the fact that it was such a crazy ending and all those things happened to Piastri. But those two drivers, those performances were unbelievable, outstanding. So, yeah.
Did you pick Lando for the championship?
Look, I think he's going in red hot favorite. I'm going to go with Smokey and I think Piastri. I'm just going to say Piastri.
But in our we did predictions.
No, we didn't for F1.
Did we?
No, we didn't get a chance because we were away.
Yeah, gotcha. So Piastri. Smokey.
Yeah, it's my Smokey. Well, not Smokey, but like I always go somewhere different. You'll have to. Everyone's going to say Lando.
That's why you're an Essendon supporter.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to go for the other dog. So for me, it's... but he looked really good. And he won Abu Dhabi last year, the last race of the year, when the pressure was off. But we really needed to see what he was like when the pressure was
on. That was the ultimate high-pressure situation. You have Max Verstappen, arguably one of the best drivers of all time, in mixed conditions where... obviously, he's going to thrive. And he, you know, he came off of Piastri, but kept it together a little bit more. And yeah, like, say what you want to, it was a brilliant, brilliant drive. Mm. And it's all coming together for McLaren. Like, Zach Brown, how long has he been with McLaren for?
Look, I think he took over probably post Alonso day, so I'm gonna say
so when they were in
six,
the shit?
6 or 7 years. Yeah, he's taken that team
to
the front of the grid.
Yeah, he seems like an unbelievable maybe like a motivator of that team, like a team. What is he, just a team principal?
He's a CEO.
CEO, okay. Shows how much I know. Mm. But with what he's doing, the access he gives during races as well, how cool, calm, collected he is. And, you know, I guess with McLaren, there was a little bit of... they were under fire a little bit last year with team orders. We didn't know really what was going on. It seemed to be really confusing. This race, let them race.
Yeah.
Let them race.
There was a touch of a whole position.
Yeah, there was.
Which probably was a fair thing at the time because the rain was coming and we didn't know what was going on. May or may not have put Piastri off his game. With the rhythm, but that when the rain came down, who knows what was going to happen. But yeah, you're right, more of a clear message. And I think he doesn't have a lot to do with the day-to-day on the race team.
Mm.
He overlooks the whole thing, but he would have a final say with a lot of things.
Well, it always comes from top down.
You get 100%.
You got to create that culture. And obviously they've built this car now, which seems to be by far the best.
Mm.
And it looks like McLaren's going to dominate this year.
Yeah. You
know, but again, with F1, who knows? Because we said that about Red Bull last year. And okay, Max won the first 7 races or whatever it is. And then it flips. So it
flips.
Ferrari could come strong. Mercedes could. Like, you still don't know. Like, you cannot take your foot off the gas at all.
No.
Especially in like that Formula One game. Like, you obviously know it a lot more than me. But like, it just seems like you're always going to be finding that little extra inch because it makes such a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking like... I mean, Ferrari, for instance, was a very interesting one. They came out post-Saturday qualifying, so we've gone for a wet weather setup. And complete and utter bullshit. Track position at Albert Park is number one. If you qualify 7th and 8th at Albert Park, you're not winning the race. Like, it's statistically, you're not winning the race. So, I think that was very poor form for them. They had a great run through practice. And for them to say they've gone for a wet weather setup, yeah, I just thought that was complete and utter rubbish. But just very disappointed from them. But again, we've got 4 top teams at the moment. We've got a Williams that is going really well. So the top 10 is just going to be so hard to get into that every week. So, I mean, God, there's a couple of hard luck stories over the weekend, wasn't there, with these rookies?
What's his name on the second corner?
Isaac Hadjar, before the race started.
On the formation lap.
I mean, just lining it up. You've gone through the first corner of the formation lap on your debut. You light the rear tyres up and you hit that white line and you're in the... you're in the wall. It was funny. It was I think this might be a hot take, but I'm going to say it early. Willie Nell said white lines. So Kilda are famous for white lines or something. Fuck, I thought that was brilliant.
That is good.
Great minds. Great mind there.
Yeah,
Willie Nell. So, but yeah, I mean, caught Jack doing that, was right in front of me. going through turn five, and just so unlucky, just a snap and it just goes. I mean,
it shows you how hard these things are to drive.
And the most hilarious thing is the only rookie who didn't have an incident throughout the race was Ollie Bearman, who had 12 laps in practice and qualifying the whole weekend. So, I mean, Antonelli, amazing effort, but he still spun out and had an issue coming off. So, yeah, it was a color. I mean, I just...
What saw, about Hamilton's old man?
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't realize Isaac Hadjar is obsessed with Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
He's obsessed. Like, he can't even be in the same room with him. He gets so nervous and he's shaking his hand. And for Anthony Hamilton to come up and do that, I thought it was a really nice gesture.
I thought it was really nice.
And then Helmut Marko's come out today. And so Dr. Helmut Marko doing Helmut Marko things has labelled Isaac Hadjar crying after spinning on the 400 nation lap is embarrassing. And then he said, and then he also suggested that he put on a tearful show, and that was also a bit embarrassing. I mean, it's like he got the dad who's like the supportive dad. I'm sure Anthony Hamilton pushed Lewis pretty hard. But then you got like the bloody the uncle who just says how shit you are all the time.
Chain smokes all the time.
Yeah, he thinks he's going to make your mind better. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Oh, man, he's the funniest.
Yeah. Helmut Marko,
he's ruthless.
God, he's ruthless.
It's hilarious, though.
And this day and age...
Almost all detriment, I think, these days.
Yeah, it's almost... This day and age, I know we harp on with mental health and all that stuff. I mean, it just wasn't like that back then. It was just ruthless. Like, he belongs back in the paddock when it was the 80s and the 90s. And look, I have to appreciate it sometimes. Like, it can't be all, you know.
You still need some C-U-N-T. Yeah. It's just going to be a mixture, I think, these days.
It can't be all rainbows and butterflies. You have to be that see you next Tuesday to a certain extent. Yeah. But some crazy results through the field. Going back to Max Verstappen, utter astonishing how he battled those two McLarens.
Yeah.
It reminded me of him battling the two Mercedes back in the day, the Hamilton and the Bottas, and just he had got a little bit of wet weather some races, and he put it in spots. You know, I remember Brazil, I think 2017, 18, I'm getting it fact checked here, but it reminded me of that. I mean, you had Norris ahead, then you had, you know, Verstappen for a lot of the race, and then Piastri behind, those three just going through those set of corners. And what you don't understand and you don't get from home is the gaps.
Mm.
How big the gap was between third place and Russell was just, it was 8 seconds after about three laps. Like, you don't realize how quickly these guys got out in front. And this is why I'm saying this McLaren is looking so strong. That front end is looking so grippy. And for Verstappen to be there or thereabouts through the whole race, granted he got help with the weather and the safety car, but to a 1% chance of winning was pretty incredible.
Would you say that round wasn't the best barometer of the season to a degree? I guess McLaren, it looks like, okay, we know where they are, but do we fully understand where Red Bull is? Do we really fully understand where Ferrari is?
We don't, not yet.
And same with Mercedes.
Not yet. We'll see. I think we'll really see it. Even China this weekend, it's a very unusual long radius sort of track, long radius corners, 1.3 kilometer front back straight. Very unusual track. Normally an unusual result.
Famous for a cheeseburger high side.
Yes, big one.
Massive. Airborne. Yeah, OGs will know that.
Triple cheese, that one.
Yeah, that was a triple cheese high side. Make that a t-shirt.
It was so high. There was so many lasers.
Someone make us a t-shirt of triple cheese high siding, holding the triple cheeseburger flying through the air. That's hilarious.
But yeah, very unusual track. Red Bull traditionally go very well there. They have through the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
They had their first win back in 2009.
Who's got the straight line speed?
I think it's all so even now.
Okay.
It is so even. And
as long as you got DRS.
It's a strange one. Like, you just don't get those big differences with the powertrains at the moment. They've all peaked.
We're at the last year of development.
Yeah,
aren't we?
They've all really peaked at that. I don't know, what is it? 12, they're talking 11, 1200 horsepower, these things. So it's going to be a really interesting weekend. I'm really excited. Again, it's a nice time for us here in Australia with the Chinese, because it's, 6 or 7 p.m. race time, which is always nice. And then we get to Bahrain a couple of weeks after that. So, and then we've got Jeddah and these are more unusual tracks. Again, we all know the cream rises when we get back to Europe.
Yeah.
We're on one of those normal Barcelona, Le Mans, like with MotoGP, sort of MotoGP F1 circuits, we really see who's strong. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, 24 races is a long, season. A lot of points up for offer.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be consistent. It's all about just being consistent.
100%.
It was funny. I was talking about F1. This fella came into my work. Hopefully, he doesn't listen to this. I'm sure he doesn't. And we're talking about like driving simulators, and he's like kind of bragging. He's like, you know, he's got a cool setup. He's got his setup in the middle of his indoor driving range, like those.
Oh my god.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, obviously, dude's cashed up. He's like, I'm only like 2 seconds off Michael Schumacher's Spa lap record. on the F2004, and you can set these things up so it's like perfect conditions. I know people that like beat it. And he was kind of bragging about it. I'm like, but you're not the one putting your balls on the line, going through Eau Rouge, holding it flat. Like, there's no consequences for you.
No.
Like, it was the most ridiculous argument I was ever having with this guy. And he's like saying how he could be a Formula One driver. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot, mate.
Well, the thing is, you put Michael Schumacher in that sim. Well, you probably couldn't at the moment, but back in
wouldn't do much driving.
But back in the day, he would be nowhere near that time.
Yeah,
and then vice versa. It's a different sport.
It's completely different. And then
if Verstappen, realistically, he's like a professional sim racer, but he doesn't win every time.
Yeah,
if he realistically was so similar, it was so the same, he would win everything.
Of course.
Being the best driver in the world.
Yeah, you know, he's talked about how he said sometimes it's been harder to race sim racing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Than win a MotoGP race. MotoGP, F1 race.
Yeah. And again, and you know what? This goes back to MotoGP and how those guys can't train exactly what their discipline is.
Yeah, I know.
These massive simulators for the F1 drivers, they're not sitting at their home like this playing. They've got full simulators at their factories now. They can do lap after lap after lap after lap. It's very hard for them.
Is that the only sport? I can't think of another sport where you actually can't train in your discipline.
It's hard, yeah.
Role play because you can role play like a footy match or golf or tennis.
It's like anything with those rookie Moto 2. Say Aiguri going to Argentina this weekend. He's never ridden a 1,000cc bike around that track. And then he gets onto the fastest motorcycle in the world and he's expecting to have a result. I mean, that's wild.
It is. It's crazy. I don't know. Like, they're so different. Production bikes compared to I was just having this conversation of Superbike the other day. Like, production bike, they flex. They're not stiff like a MotoGP bike. The brakes are completely different. Like, it's... Yeah.
Superbike. I mean, there was that story with Top Rack, and he hopped on an S1000 and he thought he went around a track and he goes, this feels better than my Superbike. Because it was so nice and comfortable and turned really well. And like, he felt like it was such a nice bike to ride. And then he gets in his Superbike. Obviously, it's faster, but it's just so much harder. And
More physical.
A lot more physical. So, but that's all I've got on F1.
What about Antonelli? Fourth place rookie. That's a good effort.
Antonelli, unbelievable effort. And I think he's going to be... I called it. He's a star. Signed him. They did what I told them to do. And I'm pleased. And I'm really want a nice, clean, easy weekend for him in China to see what he's absolutely capable of. But for him to finish fourth place is an amazing effort.
Where did Russell finish?
Third.
Third. Sorry. For some reason, I kept thinking Piastri got second.
Just got to have a bit of patience with us, everyone at home. It's been a massive couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. I'm still cooked.
And to have F1, which we attended, and GP to be on the same weekend and trying to watch it all, try to recover, try to get off of the toilet, try to remember all the results.
It's
virtually impossible.
And I had like a no sleep.
Yeah.
And then my alarm went off at 5 a.m. to watch all the racing this morning before work.
Yeah.
Not complaining. I'm really not complaining. No. But it's just, it's been a wild week.
Yeah.
A wild few weeks.
It has.
I wouldn't change it for anything. Maybe the street crocodile, street duck, and the street mealworms probably sent me over the edge.
That James is not joking, by the way. We had crocodile off the side of the street, which is ludicrous. Well, I mean, why the heck? I've already had food poisoning. I'm already recovering at this point.
What got you for food poisoning again?
Oh, I said to myself, do not order get any seafood. All right, just don't get the seafood.
Were you pissed when you ordered it? No. I think you were. You were sober when
I saw crab fried rice on the menu and I thought, oh, yeah, I got to have that. Let's do it. Oh, what is it? Nah, this is like afternoon. It's like 4 o'clock.
Yeah,
it wasn't
even
dinner.
It was.
I didn't eat it. I said, let's get a salad. I ordered the salad. I'm like, I'm happy with the papaya salad.
Yeah.
That's fine. Let's eat that. Get the crab fried rice, mate. 60 baht, whatever it was, cheap. And then just cooked me for 3 days.
Cooked you. And like you overheat. The listeners know you overheat. Well, in the pool, you were cold. And then we came to visit you in your hotel, me and Maddie.
Yeah.
And you said you were kind of out of it. I had to turn the aircon off. And me and Maddie looked at each other and were like, oh, fuck, he's really sick. Yeah, so we went straight to the pharmacy and got you.
Yeah, he did.
All the drugs. Well, Maddie did.
And then I had bloody antibiotics. Oh, I don't want to keep going on, but I had antibiotics and then my whole body covered in fucking rashes and shit. I was like, this is fuck. Get me home. Get me home to Diamond Creek.
God, that was so funny. Yeah.
But you know what? Danby, Mark Bandana Man Danby, to his credit, said, boys, you just want to fly in and you want to get home. Trust me. It's going to be so fucking hot. You're going to be so tired from the weekend. And I said, no, stop being ridiculous. We're going to want to party
you
afterwards.
Big pussy.
And then he was probably right in the end, but I think...
Oh, but the 10 a.m. to 3 a.m. sesh was one of the best nights I've ever had. Slash days.
And MVP, Age and Mark, Silver Fox, they came and just had 3 nights in Phuket. Perfect.
Oh, they were so... just such a crazy group of people. Matt, Mark, and
we had anyone Age. From a 25-year-old to a 60-year-old. And all different professions.
Yeah.
Well, pretty much, except you and Age.
No, he's completely different to me.
Well, true. Out. Yeah, true. But yeah, we can't stop harping on about it. But yeah.
It was...
Join...
if you could be a fly on the wall in some of those conversations.
Oh, well, we've got footage.
Yeah, true.
Christine's massage. that was funny. it's a big pink building. We're talking about but yeah... Republica tours we'll hopefully get on up and going by next year. So
yeah,
come with us.
Yeah, message us if you
gotta be
that.
Cool though. Okay, you gotta be cool.
Yeah, we can't get some big pusses.
I want to shout out as well just before we finish. Jared Madston, ran into him a couple of times, and he'll be listening. He always listens, bro.
He's an OG.
He's an OG.
He's an absolute OG.
He couldn't have come up to me at a worse two times. He came up to me. I was fucking off my face, cooked, as in like. I was so sick and I...
You probably got him sick.
He's probably sick. And he found me a couple of times. We said g'day, but I just wanted to have a shout out, mate. I'm sorry. I was just so, so cooked at that point. I had that many cold and flu tablets trying to get through it. But shout out to him and saw a couple of other people as well. It was really good to catch up. So snuck myself into the Amex lounge on the Friday.
Yeah, you did well there, didn't you?
Dad and I were drinking...
Free piss.
Espresso martinis by the tap and beers. And that got
that tastes was, good?
Espresso. Oh, yeah. That tastes
good. When you get one of them right, they are elite.
It was interesting because we had these passes, media passes, but they didn't really get us in anywhere. But I somehow snuck us in. And then Dad and I walking up to the top of the pit lane. We've already done a pit walk, by the way, at this point.
Which is wild.
Which we would have seen on the footage. I put that on Instagram. But I'm walking up and we walk inside. Scuder, Rio Ferrari, Red Bull Energy Station, McLaren Corporate, like all the big corporates. And then up to the top. But you know what, guys? Seriously, these corporates have the worst view. I'm telling you. They've got the worst view.
On the main straight?
You have to stand at the top of the main straight. You have the catch fencing that sits up. It's all glass or plastic now. You actually can't see. The car just is pixelated when it goes past. You never actually see a real car go past.
So
you've got to
up.
See it through the through the perplex, whatever it is, perspex. And it's shit. Terrible. Yes, you go downstairs and you drink cocktails and have fun. But sit at a stand or find a corporate area which is on like a turn or
you
something.
You need either a good corporate area or a stand. But being GA is a shambles.
But that Amex ticket was $6,000 for 4 days. And the pass was watching it from the roof of the pits. You know, it wasn't... You couldn't sit there and drink and watch it. You had to leave your glass down the below. You can't bring drinks up to the top of the pit lane.
Just in case you get pissed and throw it over. Track.
Oh so, my God, so for me,
Aussies would do that as well.
For me, it's not a fan thing to do at all. It's a celebrity thing.
The F1's a fucking celebrity thing.
Yeah, 100%. But I'm just saying for the fans for next year, don't even think about Amex Lounge. I would go to The 3:30 club, which is the end of the straight, you can drink and watch and everything. And then the back straight, there's the Mercedes Lounge, I think is a really good one. But we're going to look into it for next year.
Yeah, Oz GP, hook us up.
Yeah, please. Please.
Come on. We do a lot. Ugh. One other thing, and you reassured me on the Sunday at least, but sitting in that grandstand on Saturday, deathly quiet.
Yeah.
I actually felt like I had to whisper to you. Like, everyone was so polite. There was F1 cars going past, and I could hear the trams.
Yeah, it was an interesting vibe at turn five. I mean,
it was weird.
We came from Thailand.
The craziest of the craziest.
The craziest of the craziest. And I think we were also sitting in a Marquez dedicated stand for MotoGP. Everyone's like-minded there for the same reasons. I'm sitting with Damo and his mates, and they hate McLaren. So they weren't cheering for McLaren. Then half the Aussies were, obviously, and then half the people there don't know what's going on. They're just...
It was weird. It was the weirdest... It was one of the weirdest vibes. Tom's dying on us. Yeah. It was one of the weirdest vibes ever.
Yeah.
It was strange.
I have to admit, though, on Sunday, it was day and light. It was really different.
That's good.
Everyone was up and about, and the gasping, the cheering.
Yeah, you could hear the gasp over the TV.
All that stuff. So that was good. But it's just... it is a different thing. And again, with the F1, 465,000 people over the 4 days. Amazing effort.
Yeah, it's incredible.
But yeah, probably more than half of those people aren't fans. They're just there for the event. It's in the middle of the city. It's in a crazy event.
Sure.
All that stuff that goes
with
it.
And if the weather turns it on, even better.
Yeah, exactly. Where your MotoGP event, you're there for the bikes. You're a bike fan. So different kettle of fish. But yeah, still, it was an amazing weekend. So
last thing on F1, Oscar Piastri's interview. I don't know if you saw it after the race.
Go on.
First time I reckon I saw him show a little bit of emotion.
Upset?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
With himself. Blamed himself. I love that.
Yeah.
Just a bit dejected. He's normally... And he's always cool, calm, collected.
He's a good egg, man.
I'm such a fan.
We're not going to be... He's not going to get those diehard fans because he doesn't have that heart on his sleeve personality like a Rossi, a Marquez. Well, not even Marquez. More of like a... You know, those sort of...
Well, Verstappen's got his own big personality.
Yeah.
Same with Hamilton. But in a way, a lot of people like Piastri because he's kind of like, as you say, like the little, like the nerdy, quiet.
Yeah.
He beats to his own drum.
He does. Yeah,
he really doesn't follow the crowd.
And he knows that. Like, he goes, one word answers. Like, what do you think of yourself? He goes, calm. That's me. I'm calm. And like, how envious are we of that? You know, for me, if I was in motor racing, that's the first thing I'd want is just calmness, because to race those cars around the track, 330 Ks an hour, 250 Ks around some corners, that's what you want. You need calmness. Like, you look at a different sport, Aleix Espargaró, not calm.
Nah.
Never a world champion in the you know, the big class. Never even looked like.
Some people can feed off it. John McEnroe.
Yeah, John McEnroe. Yeah. It's just a hothead. And
Roger Federer was calm.
Calm. Yeah.
What about Tiger Woods?
Very calm.
In his heyday?
Very, very calm. But all those, I mean, you look at those tennis players, that's the interesting one, all the big champions. Novak Djokovic, sort of half and half. He can crack it.
Yeah, he can crack it.
And yeah, Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer, the most probably like sportsmen in the world, you would say.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yep. I'll agree with that.
Calm. And he used to be racket throwing, whatever.
Federer, definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely wasn't calm at about 2:30 in the morning, I reckon, on Bangalore Road.
No, I wasn't calm either, vomiting my guts out that night either.
All the way on the back of someone?
Surely not.
Yeah, and then stole someone's drink just to wash your hands.
All right, keep going. All right, let's change codes for a second now.
Argentina GP.
Yep.
Big boy.
Yeah, it's
Brothers of Destruction.
It's an interesting start to the season, isn't it? It's... There's a lot of people coming up to me at work today who watch it, and they're getting a bit nervous.
Are they Italians?
Not Italian, no, but just there for the show. And look, don't get me wrong, we're two races in. We've had the same result for all four races, which is a
wild
thing.
And qualifying, 1-2, exact same.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? But yeah, it's an interesting time in the sport, and I think this is what we're afraid of, and I said this to you. At the start of the year, I said, James, I'm afraid that it's going to be a lot more one-sided than we think. And this battle that we think with Bagnaia and a Marquez is probably, or may not come to fruition. He might just be that much better. And we got asked this question 6 months ago. Does this mean that Bagnaia's two championships aren't going to be looked at as, you know, that special?
Yeah,
we know that Marquez
dominates
on that same bike. You know?
Look, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that yet. Let's get past Coda. I think Marquez is going to destroy everyone in Coda.
Yeah.
And once we get back to Qatar, it's Pecco Bagnaia likes that track and Marquez hates that track. And then once we get back to Europe, that's going to be the real barometer. Give us our 1 of 10.
All right, Marc Marquez first. Alex Marquez second. Frankie Morbidelli.
Yeah, really good. Really good.
Yeah, he's in my top five, so happy about that. Yeah. Bagnaia fourth. Far out, Fraud Watch. Didja fifth.
Lost the two old bikes.
Well done to Didja as well. Recovering still, and looked really good. Looked better. Zarco, my God, sixth.
MVP.
Brad Binder, seventh. Unlucky in the sprint as well. Pedro Acosta looks frustrated on the bike. Pedro?
Yeah.
Looks not very happy. Frustrated.
Not happy.
Mir, ninth, and Marini, tenth.
Amazing. So. And Iguru was up there. I think he was eighth or ninth, but then got dicked for the wrong ECU.
Of course, yeah. And also Quartararo finished the last.
He got hit by Bez at the start, though.
Yeah, and then came up to 14th, which was disappointing. Going down the thing, it's amazing that you looked at, I mean, Bastianini just in front of Chandra. I mean, it's 40 seconds off the lead.
The Tech 3 are fucked, man. They're so royally fucked. And Bastianini and Vinales, like...
Well, Vinales actually came up to 12th and beat...
12th, okay.
Yeah, beat Miller and...
He had a better result.
Yeah.
But
Bastianini, I mean, that's...
He's already... I've already heard rumors he already wants out of that bike.
That's
crazy.
Two
rounds in, man.
That's crazy. Well, it's... You know what? I mean, you're going to feel sorry for him because this guy would have been promised a dream. And he was on the factory team, the best bike.
Could have had a factory Aprilia.
And he's been Trump. And then all the off-season is just question after question about, you know...
KDM
and their financial issues. And so, yeah, you got to really feel for him.
Man, it's there's a lot of stories in MotoGP. Like, yes, Marquez is out dominating. I personally love to see him winning again. I think it's great. And I really don't think that we're... Like, these are just two weird, wacky results. I'm telling you, once we get to Qatar and then we get back to Europe, Bagnaia is going to be winning races.
But how is it they're both going so well?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know. That is incredible.
Like, Alex Marquez has been so inconsistent through his MotoGP career.
Yeah.
And he's been second every single race, all four races.
I know.
It's just incredible.
I don't get it.
He's been, he got asked in the media post race, oh, you're lacking, you should, you know, do you reckon you could have passed for the lead? He's like, I'm happy with second. Like, I've been so happy with second.
It's
like,
he's having the ride of his
life. Yeah. Like, you got to remember, this guy's on a year-old machine. I know they're not as, you know, they're not that dissimilar, but for him, he's having having just as good a season as what Mark Marquez is having.
100%.
And it's amazing. I don't know how...
He's actually not getting enough credit,
no,
Alex Marquez. No. He's doing amazing. He's leading races.
Yeah.
He's only... But the thing of Mark, right, is he passes him with three laps to go and pulls a 1.7 second lead.
Did he let him through again?
He ran wide.
Yeah,
okay. He legitimately ran wide. Went in too hot. Yeah. But like the thing with his Ducati, what Mark was saying in the post-race is he had like no front-end feeling. And then as it went, and he was going to settle for second. He was settling for second.
Because he nearly went down.
A couple times.
Yep.
And then he said, I had more and more feeling through the race. He's like, okay, now I can have a go. And then gets him.
I don't know.
And then gaps him by like 2 seconds. And then obviously Alex Marquez then shuts off and says, all right, I'll take 20 points.
It's a strange one. Even the middle, like the midfield pack, it was just sort of stagnate through the race. Nothing much was happening. So... But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that track at all.
I love that track.
Nah, it just doesn't produce good racing. Except back in the day with, you know, Marquez versus Rossi. But I just don't remember another good race.
Remember when Jack Miller started from...
Yeah,
like,
that was the most ridiculous thing.
That was the most MotoGP thing.
I remember Aleix Espargaró winning there years ago. Bezzecchi winning there. But that was both dominant wins. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, you're not far off. And you know what's weird about it? It's actually got Phillip Island vibes, that track. Very flowy.
Yeah, very flowy, yeah. Yeah, it's just so wide, isn't it?
I know.
It's
so it wide. Is like,
the bikes look tiny.
You could put like three Formula One cars abreast into one of those corners.
Yeah, it's so strange. Those Moto 3 bikes going down the straight, just like you could fit the whole field across.
And it doesn't look like there's much going on around the track. It must all be like Thailand behind the pits.
Probably similar to Thailand where it's... Thailand's probably only, what, 10 minutes away, but it's probably a similar situation.
Like, there's nothing. Like, there's no, you know, you look at...
Oh, you're talking about, like, sorry,
just,
around the...
Yeah, just like facilities around. It's just paddocks.
Yeah, it's just paddocks. The paddock and then a couple of grandstands close to the pit.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It is weird. And it's something that I think, like, a Phillip Island, like, Siberia is a classic place that all the big fans go.
That's hardcore fans there.
Yeah. But that's years and years and years and years. That's... You know, it's 30 years of tradition and that sort of thing as well. These
people be there for 30 years.
Yeah.
They won't go anywhere else. That's where Termas is new.
Brand new. Thailand's new as well. I mean, that side stand in the back straight, I mean, someone could turn that into a party atmosphere, which it already is in the other side, but where it gains traction over years and years. We'll wait and see, so...
True. And it's probably smart though, like in Thailand, you've got one side is like more party and then maybe the other side's family friendly. I don't know.
But you know, it'd be a good spot in Thailand that the end of the back straight, having a stand there would be awesome. But they've got like weird hotel rooms there.
I know, it's strange.
We drove actually around the track and when we were going back to the airport and we were like, well, this is the back behind the track. There was just nothing there. It was just like fell off a cliff and then there was houses. It was just a very strange sort of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Very Thai spec.
Yeah, very.
Bro, Honda's back.
It's amazing, isn't it? And not just Zarco.
Three Hondas in the top 10.
Three Hondas in the top 10. Who? I did not pick that. I did not pick that.
I did.
You did?
I did. I said Honda will finish 13th or above, if I say correctly. Yeah. And they're going to do better than that.
I reckon they're going to do better than Yamaha.
Well, that was my question. Honda, do you think Honda will finish ahead of Yamaha this season? Because they are well on track.
I still don't see it happening, but...
Okay.
It's a lot closer than what I thought.
Not in constructors, as in, do you think Honda's best rider will outscore points Yamaha's best rider? So let's say Zarco versus
Quartararo. No, I think Quartararo will still outscore him by the end of the season. I know it's not looking like that now, but, you know.
It's not.
Zarco should be on the factory team, man.
There's a hot take. But then also, there's a hot take.
But also, Mir and Marini actually performing quite well.
Well, Mir's doing actually really well, to be honest. And then Marini's done, had his best result ever. It's his first ever top 10 for Honda.
That's crazy. That shows you, though, that the bike all roundly is better.
Mir said he can finally ride it how he wants to ride it.
God.
How long? That's taken him 3 years.
But even, I mean, Chandra, I mean, I know he's off the back, but he's not off the back by 10 seconds.
Nah, and he's not hurtling himself into the stratosphere either.
No, he's not Nakagami himself at all. I think he's performing better than what Taka was, to be honest, on the same bike.
No, he's still coming last. He's still coming last.
Yeah, he should have probably gone a bit better at his home track. He's probably done so many laps around there.
So Honda guaranteed a podium this year?
No, God, no, not guaranteed. No. I still don't see it happening.
Honda's getting the podium.
Sprint race?
Tom farted.
Sprint race?
No, main race.
No, they're not getting the main race podium.
They're getting the main race podium.
No. Is there any money in here? No.
Nah, it's in my arm. It's in the pig. It's in the pig. Fill that pig up.
Oh, far out.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's a hard one. I think... the Japanese, they're definitely back. But you know why?
But there's no Japanese people in the teams. You notice that?
Oh yeah, well we've said that. That's part of it. That was part of their 10-point plan.
Yeah, they actually are listening to us.
But I think the downfall of KDM's helped that immensely.
Well, yeah, it's sprung them all up a position.
Yeah,
is KDM the worst off bike right now?
If you said to me, Tom, you're riding for a team.
Yeah.
You can pick your team.
Yeah, you had the choice of Yamaha, KDM or Honda.
You wouldn't go KDM. You wouldn't. You wouldn't go. And it's true. It's incredible when you say that 12 months ago. You know how quick it can change in this sport.
God, what would I pick? I don't know. I think, you know what? I'll go Honda, Yamaha, KDM.
Dude, I think Yamaha are going to nail these new regs. I got a feeling.
Just fucking clip that.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're going to dominate. There's history over the years, when there's new regulations, these big Japanese manufacturers get it right. Now, they haven't. I'm telling you, they haven't for the last 10 years.
Well, they haven't with Aero.
They haven't with Aero, but that's something that's reducing. Going to a smaller capacity engine.
Aero wasn't like an... it's a next year thing. It's slowly developed.
Yeah.
Where these new regs are like, that's it.
Yeah. So for me, I'd want to... I think Quartararo, that $12 million a year, I think he's made the right decision.
God, it's big.
Mm. Just have a crystal ball moment.
That's a major crystal ball moment. Can you see Marquez winning 2 Ducati titles and then going back to Honda? The new regs?
Oh, imagine that.
That's my prediction.
Yeah.
And he's going to go back-to-back in Ducati. Honda's going to nail a bike.
Yeah.
He's going to go over and then win on that Honda.
How good for GP would that be?
That'd be huge.
That'd be so good for MotoGP if that happened. And that could happen.
100%
that could happen. And he's definitely said that. Like,
yeah, he's always... Yeah.
He can't be in the prime of your career on a shit bike either, being that good.
But how long can you be in your prime for? He's been in his prime from day dot. 2013, and it's 2025, and he's had a debilitating injury, and he's still now back on a bike dominating like never before.
That 14 year was still his most amazing.
10 wins in a row.
Yeah.
I actually think 19 was better.
Yeah, okay.
He never finished lower than second, and had one DNF.
Where? Which track?
Guess.
Coda.
Phillip Islands.
Honda. We saw him crash.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Dominated that season.
He did,
just
yeah.
made everyone look silly. And he would have done the exact same thing in 2020.
Yeah, until he just went too hard on that. I was re-watching that race that when he mucked his arm up. I actually forgot he actually went off on that same corner about four laps previous.
Yes.
A lot of people don't realize that. And he ran wide, came back, was dominating. Like, he was dominating.
Made everyone look so
bro,
silly.
He was going like 3 seconds a lap faster. And it does it again. It smashes his arm. Like, no. Like, this guy's mental. He's crazy.
Scott Redding said it. There's only two people in the world who would ride through a brick wall.
Yeah.
And Mark Marquez is one of them.
Yeah. Get on that pod, by the way, guys. Yeah. Scott Redding. James, amazing. Awesome.
And that's kicking off as well.
Yeah, it's our biggest pod ever. So
Scott Redding was
until this
incredible.
One.
Yeah, until this one. Bez, talk to me about Bez, bro. What's going on? He's your boy and you backed him from the start.
Yeah,
what's going on?
God, the comments were interesting, weren't they, on our post? Just were delusional.
You should see. I got one guy on our YouTube. Fuck it. The bad comments are so funny. Yeah. He's like... why is this American guy, calls me American for start, from Ohio, American guy with a fake Rossi shirt. It's the Motorsport Republica Rossi shirt. And he's like, and he hasn't even studied for this interview. And I'm like, who is this old codger? I'm pissing myself reading it. Oh, so good.
Oh, my God. You got to get hate. There was one comment on Scott Redding. It was like, oh, an art to an interview is letting them speak. I'm like, what? Of course it is. But like, and it was done. I just don't understand people.
That was the best. I love it.
That's the best. Anyway, we love it. Keep them coming. Bez, yeah, look, unlucky in the race. Okay. Stupid fucking late.
Not unlucky. It was just a terrible move.
Sorry, let me rephrase them.
Colorado was unlucky.
Yeah, dumb. Yeah, I'm not sure. I really don't. I had him in the top five because he's had history at that track, winning a couple of years ago. The recent winner of the track. He won in 2023. So he has form on that track, but
Aprilia's got form on that track as well.
But we'll see. We've got Martin back next round.
Nah. He's not back at Coda. Might not be back for Qatar. And earliest maybe will be Europe.
Oh, God. Disgusting. That's disgusting. That's a world first.
Yeah.
No one knows that until now.
That's true. That's legitimately true. He's definitely not back for America. He's a maybe for Qatar, and he's a definite for Europe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I did say that. He's out for the Americas, isn't he? So
gone. Yeah. So Bez is carrying it, and he's not doing well.
He's done nothing. He's had a 6 or a 7. That's nothing.
Stupid move.
That's
man.
Nothing. That's nothing.
Stupid move in that first corner. Obviously, they get sucked in. I get it. But Aiguru is like the top performing, besides getting the ECU.
Yeah.
Rider.
Yeah, I mean, again, I bet you we'll leave him out of our tips this week and he'll
100%.
He might have a great coda. Like, who knows? I mean, who does that track favor? It does. I mean,
besides Marquez,
Rins has had form there. He seems like he's
doing better.
He's doing better.
I think he didn't finish in the top 10 though.
But he's unaided apparently without crutches, walking through the paddock now. Okay. And I think he was still on his bike when he's doing his track walk or ride, but that's what they were saying in the coverage. So there's still form to come from. We're still crying out for some form from Yamaha. So
100%.
Let's wait and see. Kota's an unusual, just long circuit. I mean, there's so many different corners, so many it's different a bit sections. Of everything. It's got it, they when they designed that track, they designed it to have the best part of every circuit in the world. So
it takes a while for you to like that track. I like that track.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. It's a real rider's track that, and it's a long. I mean, those Moto 3 guys, they're 2:30 around there, aren't they? It's a crazy. Long way.
They might as well do six laps. Honestly,
I'm telling you, there would be riders out there that said, I've never had close to a perfect lap. You know, I've ran wide, I've missed an apex, I've done 100%. You know, there'd be Moto GP riders like that.
100%.
So, yeah, the cream rising.
Okay, Pecco Bagnaia. When's he start to feel the pinch?
Now, he has to.
Off the podium?
He's off the podium. He can't.
He's 30 points behind.
Yeah, if he's sitting in third, just we're warming up, but he's beaten by 2 24 spec bikes, Morbidelli and Alex Marquez, consistently with Mark Marquez, consistently in all sessions.
Consistently valid.
Just got into Q2 as well. Mm. As in he finished 10th after crashing. So there you go. That's another thing. He's starting to make mistakes now. Yeah, it's going to be a rough year, I think.
So you're calling it?
So I called it early, bro. I called this so early. I called it fucking 4 weeks ago.
I think if Mark Marquez is going to win Coda. But if Marquez goes out and win and then wins sprints and the main race in Qatar,
game over. GG.
Game over.
Give him the game over. Yeah.
Yeah, Europe will throw up some different results. It just will.
Yeah,
it will.
But he's not.
He's
like,
not going to do
Marquez
a perfect
isn't
season.
Crashing either.
I know, and I'm watching it like waiting for him to just tuck the front.
But he's crashed like in his Honda days. He was crashing all the time. Still, he was crashing.
Trying to find the limit.
Yeah, but he's not crashing.
I know he's not.
He's nowhere near the limit.
I still think he's got 3/10 in the bag at all times.
Yeah. It's a scary, scary scenario for those guys.
I love watching it, though. I love seeing someone dominate.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think as you get older, you appreciate it more as well.
I think the purists like it. Yeah. I like to fancy myself as a racing purist, and I love it.
Yeah.
But it's... I don't know. I think Bags, you got to give him till... Yeah, Qatar.
We need a good race, though. We need a good race.
It'll come.
It'll come. Yeah, it's... It's still that aero tire pressure scenario a lot.
It's just
going on,
like two weird tracks.
Yeah.
Coda's another weird one. It is. Just once you get back to Europe, they all know it.
It's almost like street circuits versus normal
it
circuits.
It is a little bit.
Where you go international, a lot of them are designed by Herman Tilke and they're all got these unusual corners and everything. And then you go to the traditional tracks, which they're all, you know, different in their own right, but
they've got
traditional. Yeah, they've got personality. Traditional MotoGP tracks. They've been there a lot as well, so everyone knows the tracks. So, yeah, Coda's gonna be interesting. Coda's gonna be really interesting. It's unusual if F1 versus GP this year. A lot of the races at the start of the F1 season are all friendly time for us in Australia, and then but all the races for GP are like 5 a.m. 6 a.m.
MotoGP, I know, like we always cop it.
Yeah, at the start of the year. And it's like when you want to watch it the most.
Yeah, so. You're most excited, and then once you get back to Europe, you're like, oh, thank God, 7 p.m.
Exactly.
We've said it before, but Australia's got the best time zone for it.
It does,
Melbourne.
Yeah, no, people Eastern go. I don't want it at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. No way.
It fucks my Sunday.
Yeah, it fucks your Sunday. Like the whole day is done. Like 10 o'clock is perfect. Like, it always is. It always
7 p.m. Moto 3, 9 p.m.
Yep.
Moto 2, and 10 p.m. Moto GP. It doesn't get any better than that.
No, it does not get
you're
any
on
better.
The eastern side of
especially
Australia.
You got a family and stuff and like. Kind of was funny. You listen to Adrian when we're away. He goes, he watches a lot of it on his phone. I couldn't imagine doing that.
Yeah,
but I did actually watch the sprint race on my phone in bed. Terrible, but I at least I got to watch it. You know, sprint race. I could only hold my phone up for 20 minutes. I reckon. I don't think I could do the whole 45.
Oh, I thought you'd be used to holding your phone up like that.
Roger.
Right, for about 3.5 minutes, I reckon. Got him good. Yes, got him.
Got him.
What else do I have on my agenda? We've spoken about Morbidelli.
Yeah, it's on. I called it at the start of the season. I told you he's going to have a good year. He's due. He's due for a good year. And he's podiumed. He's podiumed on the second race.
Can you keep it up?
Yeah, he can. He can. He's going to be top five for me in the championship. He is looking not too bad.
He's looking pretty good, isn't he? He's looking, and he was up there in Thailand.
Bro, if you said to me, oh, Morbidelli's going to pass Bagnaia.
I know.
In a main race, the second race of the season for the podium, you wouldn't believe it. But nah, it's happened. And again, it wasn't talked about probably as much as some because the Marquez story is just so huge. I mean,
it's huge. How would you feel being the dad as well?
Oh, yeah, Javier or what's his name? Jesus.
No, I don't know.
It just starts with J, but it's not a J. he'd be fucking cloud nine after seeing his older son going through such turmoil for the years, and then his younger son struggling for a lot of his MotoGP career, and then both shining at the same time, the same year. He'd be pinching himself, wouldn't he?
Shit, yeah, man. Like, it's cool. I love it. I really, it's amazing to see, and I don't know when you're going to see that again.
Two brothers.
Who knows how long Alex is going to keep it up for? I don't know. He can still be a yo-yo, but even for two races, two rounds is very cool.
It's the first time it's ever happened. Yeah. Brothers, first and second, and then it happened 2 weeks in a row. Know.
Crazy. And pole position, second.
sprint race. Oh. Like most of the practices, I mean, it's utter domination. But we did call that. We knew Marquez was going to dominate this round. Low grip circuit. He's had form there. We knew this was going to happen. But it's just the thing for me is, why is Alex there? How is Alex there as well? That is the thing that is just, I can't wrap my head around. He had great form in testing, yes, but for him to be so consistent and both the races to be so similar, you know, they were mirror images of themselves, those two races.
It suits the GP24, I guess.
Yeah, incredible.
Do you reckon he'll do well in COTA?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't see anything different happening. Again,
I don't know.
Coda's a write-off for me. I think I'm the Quinella's already done.
I'm going to say Marquez to dominate, and I'm going to say a Japanese bike is going to be on the podium.
All right. We'll see.
Definitely ain't going to be a KDM.
Rate Rins.
Maybe. Quartararo.
Wow. Quartararo's got to show something. Oh, he hasn't shown anything yet.
Fucking unlucky.
He hasn't shown anything yet.
He's unlucky. Pedro Acosta going to leave KDM or what?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's... And they said this on the coverage. And the thing is, with these commentators, they know all this 100%. Inside goss. So when they say, oh, he's apparently been talking to other... They know he's been talking to other teams.
He's in with the paddock.
You know that media center. That would just spread like wildfire. They're looking downstairs. They're seeing people meet up in this paddock. They know what's going on. And for Matt Burt to say that on the coverage... was a total sign for me that it is happening. He's in talks with Ducati.
Yeah.
He needs to be on a Ducati. They need that, probably that young gun coming through anyway for their, you know, for their brand.
If Pedro Acosta was on a Ducati, he would be up there with, I wouldn't say beating Marc Marquez, but it'd be fighting. Yeah. I think he'd be that much faster. I really do. And I think he'd be beating Bagnaia.
You know the thing about Acosta? He, this time last year, amazing first few rounds.
Yeah.
Didn't finish the year that amazingly and hasn't started the year that amazingly. I think there's some bit of pressure there as well that he's probably not coping with.
Yeah, well, it's the manufacturer issue.
There's definitely pressure that he's not coping with, but... yeah, he probably just needs that release, that pressure valve, doesn't he?
I think he's just pissed off. He's just stuck in this situation. And I feel sorry for him and Brad Binder. All the KDM guys.
Yeah. Well, and Bastian Heaney as well, I feel.
Yeah.
He would have been promised a world, that guy.
I know.
You know, he would have been promised this, that. We're going to have four factory bikes. We're going to work together. We're going to have four amazing riders. The salaries came out. Bloody Vinales is getting paid double the amount of Bastian Heaney.
Yeah, double. He's getting paid like $8 million.
Yeah, something crazy.
He's getting
crazy.
Paid, I think, and Jorge Martin's on like $4 million.
No wonder they're going broke. Like, seriously. Come on.
Paying overs. Yeah. Major overs.
Unblock us.
Yeah, unblock us. Come on, we're mates.
Yeah. We're mates. Unfair.
And I got word came out Marc Marquez turned down 100 million euros to ride for Honda. That was the offer on the table.
Yeah, so 100 million over 4 years, which is just
insane.
25 million a year, which is
like 45 million Aussie a year.
Yeah, which puts him high. Like, that puts him up in motorsport terms.
Doesn't that show you how much he wants to win?
Yeah, yeah.
He's already, obviously already got more money than God, but...
Oh, I think the Red Bull sponsorship for me, that would have been... That's his... That would be his baby. Yeah. He goes, get it. Go on. Get rid of it. I'll wear Monster. I don't give a shit.
Well, he's out on loan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but just for him to... For him to go, I want to go there without that. That, for me, that was huge.
I reckon they're still paying him. I reckon there's still money.
Still can go to the performance center.
Yeah.
With Ralston.
He can. With our boy.
Yeah. He might be back this week.
I hope so.
He's looking better.
Yeah. He needs to. Did you see Aprilia? They had that MotoGP inside access.
Oh.
In practice.
Oh.
You could hear the crew chief talking into like the microphone, giving like the whole mechanics like a debrief into the session.
I didn't see it. That's cool. That must have been because, you know, we opened them up to social media.
they haven't heard of social media.
No. Victoria's like, oh, we should get more involved in this. I think she was listening to us.
And then, like, they were trying to play it over on when they were on the grid, and then Jack Appleyard kept talking, like, over it. Oh, like the classic MotoGP.
Good bloke.
I like him.
Yeah, Jack. We like Jack. Good bloke. Nice guy. But yeah, the production team just need to kick up the ass.
Well, for the after the flag, they do.
After the flag.
Here's the most abysmal thing I've ever watched. We could do a better job. But it's not really the people. It's the producers. Because it's like they've hired like literal monkeys that are just pressing buttons.
Yeah, yeah. They've got no script. And they just put the camera on them and go, talk. It's like... What are you supposed to say?
And then they throw up like random questions about nothing. And then they go back to like another guy having a conversation about like his family.
It's terrible. Who's controlling the monkeys with the
symbols? With a cigarette. That's legitimately what the producer.
Oh, God.
Oh, we've killed him.
I'm running out of here.
That's like post Phillip Island all over again.
It is. It was the same. Actually, it was probably worse than Phillip Island, to be honest. Phillip Island.
Oh, yeah. Well, that night when the boys left to go back to Melbourne, you were like so far cooked.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually getting worried about you.
Yeah. When I get cold and when we're in a...
Didn't stop me getting a massage, but...
when I'm in an Asian country and I'm cold, that's when things are seriously wrong.
Seriously wrong.
Yeah. Like when I'm if I'm close to the equator and I'm not sweating, there's issues. There's issues. And I remember being under a doona without the aircon on. It was 32 degrees outside and humid and not sweating. Issue. Major. Also, another issue, not hungry. That's a massive issue because I'm always hungry.
Yeah. And that's what got you into this mess.
Yeah, it did. The crab fried right. Crab fried right. Dumb fucking move. Dumb.
Give me some fucking Pad Caprao again. That's what I want.
Yeah, it was good.
Moto 2.
Yeah, it was... you talked to me, Jimmy.
And give us some results.
Yeah, results? Yeah. Sorry. Of course. Yeah.
Jake Dixon.
I mean, just... this is like... It felt like Moto 2 from a few years ago.
It was a snooze fest.
All right, so we have... Jake Dixon, first place. Manu Gonzalez, second. Celestino Vietti, third. Aaron Canet, fourth. Marco Ramirez, my boy, fifth.
Yep.
Darren Binder, sixth.
Nice result.
Ooh. S. Craig, yes. Seventh. Lopez, eighth. Hasn't shown much Lopez this year.
Nah.
Danny Helgado, ninth. Great result. Yep. And Albert Arenas, 10th. Yeah. How's my pronunciation? Quite good.
Very good.
Thank you.
Might be a new gig on the pod.
Now, shout out to Senna. Had a rough weekend qualifying. Got it back up to 13th place in the
13th,
end.
Nice.
So, that wasn't too bad.
Australian bias.
Maybe a track that he's not suited to and hasn't been to a lot. Hasn't wasted, ever. Obviously. Ever. So, for him, getting top 15 was good.
Yeah. Bit of a snooze first. Happy for Manu. Second, getting points.
Yeah.
Looking good. Jake Dixon, first win on Mark VDS. Look at him go. So, no one... I didn't really expect that at the start of the weekends. Celestino Vietti finally got his podium.
Yeah. Bit of... after obviously the heartbreak of Thailand. That's good for him.
Yeah.
He's in good form, actually. Yeah, he's in good form. He's there or thereabouts. So, he'll have a good year and a really good young prospect.
Arbolino hasn't shown much yet.
Oh, what's his excuse this time?
Your boy, mate. Your boy. Tony.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll wait and see. We didn't talk about this, but different tire manufacturers for the first.
Oh, yeah. Pirelli coming on board.
Yeah.
MotoGP.
So, Pirelli all the way through.
Yep.
F1.
I called that.
F1, F2, F3, MotoGP, Moto2, Moto3, incredible.
World Superbikes.
And World Superbikes. Yeah. Not Braxy. Braxy didn't think that, though.
Yeah, yeah, Braxy thought it was Michelin's.
Michelin's. For them to dominate both world sports is incredible. Yeah. So. And you know what? It does work, because if I'm going to go buy a set of tyres, I'm going to buy a set of Pirellis.
Well, that's the most bought set. Is yeah. Pirellis because of World Superbikes.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to touch on that because yep. we're going to new regs with new tires. I mean, poof, that's another getting another exciting time.
New tires is wild.
But yeah, Moto 2 snooze fest.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Not much to talk about in that one.
No, no. And Moto 3,
not a bad race. Not a bad race at all. It's always fun to watch.
All right, so Moto 3.
Jolly Kelso, double long lap to get back to like eighth. Well done.
All right, is it Angel Piqueras?
Yep.
Nice work. First, Fernandez second, Rueda third, Batelli fourth, Furusato fifth, Almansa sixth, Linetta seventh, Joel Kelso after the double lap. Well done, James. Eighth, Yamanaka ninth. And Nepa, my boy, on the dance floor at Phillip Island, 10th
for the 650 day.
Yeah.
Mauro Batali had that race almost in the bag, and then like second last corner just dumped three positions.
Yeah. So is that the start of many for Piqueras, do we think?
He's looking good.
Odds on favourite for the championship.
Rueda has done a first and a third.
Yeah.
Yep. So he's looking good as well. It's always hard with Moto 3. It takes a few rounds into Europe, and then you can kind of gauge where everyone's at. And the race was pretty good. Like, it was a good race. Maybe I was just so cooked because it was like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
But Moto 3 always throws up a good race. It's just hard to predict anything yet. Like, you know what Moto 3 is like besides last year.
That's the thing. Last year was the outlier. Yeah. Last year was the most incredible season you'll ever see from a rookie in any sport. So,
not a rookie.
Sorry, yeah.
Second year.
In the minor classes. But take nothing away. You might get a different winner every weekend. You just don't know.
We don't know. So, we'll just wait and see. We'll see. Hopefully, as you said, Rulestone's back.
Yeah.
For the next rounds, Kelso's up there, and then we'll just see what all the other young talent's going to do, and who is the next star to be unearthed.
Yes, yeah, very true. Very true. Very exciting.
You like that?
I like that. Are we? We're on to our world famous hot takes.
Yep. Before that, shout out to Moto Heaven. We didn't plug them at the start.
Too much going on.
This is how cooked we are. MotoHeaven.com.au. You saw Adrian, the founder, on our two podcasts ago.
Yep.
Anything that you need for motorcycle accessories, those guys are the ones. Hit them up. MotoHeaven.com.au.
And we have a new partner coming on next week, hopefully. We get our ducks in a row. And guys, really big time for us. So super exciting. But yeah, jump on Moto Heaven. Free shipping over $150. Next day dispatch.
Yeah.
All the good things in life. And you never pay full price. So
never pay full price.
It's a no-brainer. Support them. Support us.
100%. And if anyone's got money and wants to come traveling with us, hit us up so we can do more vlogs.
Yep.
So this is where we're at. Okay. At It's Cold Papa, your boy. Honda is what we thought Yamaha was going to be this year.
Yeah, it's a great call. And I think he's on the money with that. I think they slept a little bit in testing. And which was amazing because you think they'd show their full potential.
Not Honda.
No, they're still conservative. They're still conservative with that. Just put a low fuel and just go for it. But no, they didn't. But yeah, I mean, I think Zarco is making them look better than what they actually are. But still three Hondas in the top 10. Amazing result.
Amazing.
But let's wait until we get to the...
Yeah, halfway through Europe, then we'll figure out what's going on.
Yeah, Vinales is going to win this weekend, and then we'll start getting on his training.
But someone's going to be the third best manufacturer. It's going to be Ducati, Aprilia, and it's going to be Honda or Yamaha. And I think KTM's a whitewash.
Yeah. But that's a great call by Papa. It's a good hot take.
Yeah. There's a lot of good hot takes in this one. At Kevin DLG, should Pecco ask to go back on the 24? Morbidelli, Alex, and Alex Pace show the bike might actually be better than the 2025.
Yeah, but you got Marquez dominating on that bike, and it's got a 2024 chassis and engine in it anyway. So
yeah, you
got
to stay on that bike. They develop it up anyway. Yeah. It's just, the thing is Marc Marquez, I'm sorry to say, is just a better rider.
He is.
We all know. That's not an argument.
Yeah.
A lot of people argue that, but they're stupid.
And there's, over the years in motorsport, you've had the best driver not in the best car. You've had the best rider not in the best bike. So this happens. But now we've seen it. This is it.
Yeah.
This is Senna going to a Williams or, you know, that sort of thing. Sometimes you have to follow the best car.
Of course.
So this is what happens.
That's what winners do.
Hmm.
At Riding Graphics, our boy.
Yes, our boy. Yeah. Thanks for the reach.
Shout out to Riding Graphics. Yeah. Check out his page. Pecco to Honda in 2027.
Yeah.
He's called it.
We have heard a lot of that.
He's called it.
I don't know. I don't see that.
Marriage. Bit of like a Prost going Ferrari, you know, cracked it.
But I don't think
I like that reference.
I don't think I'd ever see. I just can't imagine him not with an Italian. I think he's got, because the Italians have to stick together.
It's to a detriment.
They don't. Yeah, to a detriment. They don't like branching out. Like you look at
Bezzecchi.
Like it's so many classic examples of that. You look at Bastianini, he's just capitulated in when he's not with the Italians.
Marini.
So, it doesn't work for him. Anyway, keep going.
At A Cooper 1986, Danny Rick to sign for Cadillac F1.
Yeah, there's lots of talk about that with Danny Rick, but from all reports, he was in Melbourne this weekend and wasn't at the Grand Prix. So what does that tell you?
Fuck, really?
He's got no interest at the moment, I think.
Well, he's been doing it for so long.
He had his stand there with his Enchanté clothing brand, but for him not to be there in the paddock was really surprising to me, even though he was here in Australia. Now, look, I was told he was here. I don't know 100% that he was, but he might be in Perth. Who knows? But it's very surprising because if he's in Australia, he has not at the Grand Prix. I think that tells you he's done. His head's where his head's at.
Is he living a bit in America for a bit as well?
Yeah, he's got houses. I think he's got one in LA. He's got a ranch. He's got plenty. He's
cashed up.
Don't worry about Daniel Ricciardo, guys. He's just going to live a good life, all right?
Yes. He's got a missus?
Yeah, he's going out with one of the
slain box.
No. He's dating. It's an ex racer's daughter.
They love doing that. The F1 drivers,
because it's around the paddock, and they.
Yeah, it's all incestual. Danny Rick, come on the pod. We want to talk to you. He's one of the boys.
He is one of the boys. Yeah. Well, we'll get him on one day. Blake Mills will get him on for us.
Yeah. Shout out.
We're going to get over to Perth. We're going to go to Kim.
I'll go to Perth for Danny Rick
and Kim Millman. 100% as well. So.
At A Cooper. Oh, we've done him, haven't we? At Andrew.edza. Antonelli will beat Georgie Boy and both Ferraris in the championship.
Jeez. He got lucky with the tyre choice. And he had a great race. And he was really the only one in that sort of backfield that was showing any pace. But let's just hang tough for a second. I mean, Jesus, that's a big call so far. I mean, George had a great race to finish third, so...
True.
Like, Jesus. True.
He's like the most forgetful driver, though, George Russell.
Yeah, he is. Well, you forgot that he finished. Well, is he sixth? I was like, no, he finished on the podium. Three different manufacturers on the podium, so.
Didn't even, like, look at him.
Well, he didn't get much coverage.
He loves a turtleneck.
As I said to you, the gaps was incredible to see. Like, it was just shockingly different.
No aura. Wants to have aura, no aura.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Hamilton, aura. Verstappen, aura.
Charles, aura.
Yep.
Yeah.
George Russell, no aura.
Yeah, it's something feeling. Don't watch that clip of him on Drive to Survive when he starts crying after the race. You're going to hate him even more.
Oh.
Don't do it to yourself. I can't. You're just going to be too much of a British F1 driver hater. It's going to be too much.
I don't like Lando. No. Well, the Poms love a whinge. That's the problem.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They love it. Well, they know that, though.
All of them whinge. I mean, you've got Hamilton's a whinger as well.
They all whinge. Yeah. They whinge about the weather. We love the Poms.
Yeah.
But they love a whinge.
They do.
Scott Redding doesn't whinge.
No, that's true.
He fucking mans up.
Yeah, he
wants to move to Australia, but so he's not.
Oh, he's Aussie really. Then. Yeah.
Fernando Alonso, aura.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Heart_Melbon. I like this one.
OG.
OG. I've never seen Ducati celebrate in the same manner as they do with Marc Marquez. It's always a party around him.
Mm. God, we saw that with our own eyes. We didn't see the celebration as much, but geez, that Tardozzi is just mesmerized by him, isn't he?
He's always been mesmerized by him. Yeah. That's a great way to put that. He's been mesmerized.
Remember that scene when he goes, he's just incredible.
When he saved it. That was incredible, that save.
Yeah, and he just goes, he's just incredible. He's just incredible. Obviously, in Italian.
I love that. I love how he can recognize and respect that, though. I love Tardozzi.
They're all racers, aren't they? I mean, at the end of the day, and for him to have him in his team would be... And he seems like he's always in a good mood, Marc Marquez.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't seem like he's shitty.
No.
And to have that...
He's having fun.
And yeah, to have that kind of person in your team... I think is and to Bagnaia's credit as well. I mean, he's a sportsman at the end of the day, good sportsman,
great sportsman.
So to have that, it's just a dream team, isn't it? But
and going back to his hot take when I haven't seen him party, but I don't think that's Bagnaia's personality.
Yeah, it's not.
He's a lot more cool, calm, collected.
Yeah.
Where Marquez is now really out there.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna disagree with that. I'm not gonna say it's they're partying or celebrating.
I don't think
any
so.
More yeah, than what they that. Were in the last couple of years.
But. They just do it differently.
Yeah.
Another one from Heart_Melbourne. He's the best, I think, at hot takes. Yeah. So I always choose him. He's got some really good ones. Max Verstappen definitely suits being the hunter.
Yeah, he's funny. He seemed fine. Like, he hasn't got the fastest car, but he's not whinging about it.
He's not pumped.
Yeah. He's like excited about the prospect of we're going to develop this car this year and we're going to do what we reverse of what we did last year. And for me,
that's a cool way of looking at it.
Yeah, because mid last year, he was losing the best car, and I think he could feel that. And he was whinging a lot. Whinging a lot to his team chief. And that's a great take. I think he really surprised me this weekend because he hasn't got the fastest car, but just still there. Yeah. There or thereabouts. And again, it reminded me of him in Mercedes back, so fighting those Mercedes back in, you know, that 2018, 19, yeah. 20, that sort of those sort of years. And then for him to then triumph in 21, that's what... made it so special. Because he was really the only one who put it to him.
Yeah.
He was the only one in those years. Yeah. It's amazing. So, gotta love him.
And people forget, you know, he was second for a long time as well.
Yeah. Yeah. He
wasn't just a dominant champion the whole time.
But his stats are incredible. He's 67 wins and he's 20.
Your favorite driver of all time?
No, Michael Schumacher is still my favorite driver of all time. But
I'm surprising to be honest.
But Michael Schumacher transcended the sport. I mean, he was just an incredible person where Max is he's Max and he's the best driver I've ever seen.
You've got a cat named Max but not Michael.
He won the Bad Omen, bro. All right. Go on before I say something inappropriate.
I've got like three things in the chamber.
Me too. Come on.
I didn't know they made wheelchairs for cats.
I thought there was a drawer in your fridge that was for it or something. I thought that's what you were going to say. It's so fucked. We're joking about that, by the way.
Didn't know you could put whiskies in a feeding tube.
Come on. Stop it.
Patrick,
keep fighting, Michael.
Yeah. We love you. Patrick_Sigvardsson.
That's Swedish.
Yep. How long until Zarco is at HRC Honda?
I don't know. And that's the hot take you've been talking about. I think he's just happy there, isn't he? He's got his Castrol sponsorship and I think he's got the same bike.
It's basically the same bike. It's all going to be.
I just don't know why you'd muffle the feathers.
Ruffle
the feathers in that whole team for not any
real
use.
Yeah. Real gain.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
But I mean, the Honda, they've surprised us, haven't they, in the past where they do some silly things. So for
very silly.
So they don't. They might not want to see a non-factory bike beating them every weekend. That could be the other aspect of it. And they go, well, if he's finishing sixth and fifth, we want a. I was going to say Repsol. We want the factory Castrol Honda to be up there. But
yeah, I think they just want to be up there. HRC just want to be winning, no matter who it is.
Yeah.
At this point, doesn't matter. At Paulie Ossa, The MotoGP title race will be over by the halfway mark of the season.
Well,
I don't agree.
Well, our prediction is that it's all going to be about Qatar.
Yeah. Yeah, if Marquez goes out and wins at a track he doesn't like.
Let's revisit that question after Qatar.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Our boy Special Ed. Mark will gift Alex a win after he sealed the championship with a few rounds to go.
Oh, I definitely see that happening. Yeah. But this can't happen.
I just don't think Mark's going to give anyone a win.
I think there would be not pull over. I think it's like, I'll just let him have it.
Yeah, without saying he's going to do it.
Yeah.
I ran wide.
Yeah, he's not going to just pull over and let him win. And I don't think that's fair anyway.
No, I think it's shit. Yeah. I think Alex is going to win off his own merit anyway. Yeah, 100%. Give him credit. Last one, our boy again, finishing it off with It's Cold Papa. Williams finishing P5 and P6 in the championship seems very doable. He doesn't agree. Tommy doesn't agree.
Oh, it's going to be tough, isn't it? I mean, you've got Ferrari, McLaren. So you're telling me, pup, that Williams are going to beat either both Mercedes drivers or both Ferraris or both Red Bulls or both McLarens. I don't see that happening. So possible, yes. Anything's possible. But plausible? No, I don't think so.
I like it.
All right. There you go, eh?
What do we got next? Shanghai.
Yeah, Gung Ho Fuck Joy. Good track. I like
the rice fields of Shanghai.
Yeah, I like Shanghai. Don't support China, but Shanghai will be good. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Shanghai next week.
Chinese food.
We'll be back on Monday next week to discuss our Shanghai. And we'll see you guys then. So
easy peasy.
All right.
Japanese. See you, mate. Good chat.